Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? June 30th minutes, motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any additions, deletions, corrections? I'm sorry, I should have said last one.
Mary Beth and I will have to abstain. Neither one of us was here.
Okay. Sorry. Then, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Three ayes. Opposed?
Aye,
that's right. All right, we'll go to resolutions. I'm going to do a couple of resolutions then. I'm sorry, I forget your name.
Ellen? Ellen.
Ellen is from the jail.
CMC.
CMC to answer medical questions concerning the jail. So, but I want to, we'll do a couple of quick resolutions and then we'll let Steve go. Get out of here. Unless you want to just hang out. If you got nothing else to do on a sunny Monday afternoon, we got to talk about life. So, okay, so resolution 272, confirming the appointment of Stephen J. Peterson as Director of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management.
I'll move it.
No, second.
Second. Discussion?
I think it's a great choice.
Absolutely.
Yep, I do also.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passed. Resolution 276, creating an EMS advisory board for the County of Ulster. Motion?
I'll move it.
Okay, second? Okay, Peter. Discussion? Yes. Okay.
You know, I was talking with a couple of people about this the other day, and I like it. I think it's good. I know that Rich Parrish, who is the EMS coordinator for the county, has been coming every month to the fire advisory board and updating everybody there, but the EMS issues throughout the county, I think, deserve their own advisory board. The one thing I would like, and I haven't talked to the sheriff about this yet, because it just came up either this morning or yesterday, I feel like the sheriff should have a representative, or at least the opportunity to have a representative on the advisory board.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, but I also think there's too many people on it.
Yeah,
23, I thought it said. And, you know,
yeah, there's,
but if they have a board, you know, somebody from our office, you know, would love to be on it, or I would make sure that they were on it.
I mean, I just knowing how many medical calls that you right. guys respond to, and Narcan, and everything that's yep. going on, I think it's important for you guys to have a seat.
My only other question was, are there other counties, do they all have EMS advisory boards?
I don't think all the other counties do. I don't think that we're breaking new ground with this. I'll have to look into it. I'll ask John.
And Steve, now being the new boss, yeah. or soon to be the new boss, yeah. what his feelings are on it, too.
I know that Dutchess has an advisory committee. Where did they come up with the number of 23? Is that a representative?
I know that's what's in the Ulster County Emergency Plan. I think they threw all those folks in as part of that emergency plan.
One from each town.
So,
each district.
Well, they have people from like HealthQuest in there, okay. But as part of the new emergency plan, I asked that like somebody from Ellenville Hospital be incorporated. Okay. So I think they kind of brought a little bit of everybody in to help create that emergency plan, but it is far too big. But this, I believe the second part of it is, I don't know if it's here, but perhaps next month we're going to look to put Rich Parrish in the same capacity that Charlie Mutz is in.
Okay.
So I think you'd see probably less from an EMS advisory board and more from an EMS coordinator that's on the same playing field as, you know, the fire coordinator is,
right.
and working that way, which makes perfect sense. But again, I think a large part of that advisory board was all those folks put together to put the emergency plan together for the county.
I think it's a positive.
Other discussion? Anything? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And again, I apologize if you're still going around changing. Today's the 4th of August. Only I thought it was the 3rd all day.
Well, wait a second. Because if you said that about the sheriff's office, doesn't that have to be in here?
I was reading it just now. I think that he would qualify under the under the people who could be appointed.
Oh, okay.
But the question is, do we want it's denoted in there that one shall be representative of the sheriff's office.
Why don't we make an amendment now and
it'd probably be better just to make it, is this going someplace else, or it's in health tonight. Without John being here, we really can't amend it because, we need to have the sponsor's consent.
Okay.
And as part of the advisory board, if other people would like to sign on, just note, let us, and we'll add John.
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve. FYI.
I'm not going to say anything, because if I say anything, I'll be in trouble, so I won't say anything. So,
that's not a blanket statement.
No, just for that.
Okay. So it's okay with everybody. Let's go over to the medical component for CMC. And questions? Peter, I know you're working on a whole bunch of stuff, so I'll kind of pass the baton to you. And
well, I know there was some question to what extent do we have policies. What are we going to create policies for? I know we're looking at Medicaid and how that is being utilized. We're looking at the possibility of private insurance and how that is going to be utilized. And I guess we're also looking at national health care and how that is going to be utilized. That pretty much sums it up, right?
Well, I asked Ellen to come tonight because you had questions for sure about whether we can charge private insurance companies.
Right. That was one part. We have to, I guess, pass a local law allowing us to charge private insurance companies.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you that I'm the health service administrator, so I'm the clinical person. I don't really know that much about the billing.
Brad was at a conference, so he could not be here.
Right. Mm-hmm. What I do know is that with the Affordable Care Act, we have a clinical person who is very well versed in the Affordable Care Act, and she had us start to, first of all, capture the information when a patient comes in. So we put it on our intake screening form, and we're asking them what type of insurance they have, specifically Medicaid, managed, unmanaged. The officers are also helping us out. They started to make copies of their Medicaid card and their insurance card. And then we work, if somebody has to go, this is from what I understand, it's just if they're hospitalized. Can't be used for outpatient, it can't be used for anything, just if they're hospitalized. What we do then, even though we have a copy, we don't know if the Medicaid is active or not.
What if they're over 65?
Medicare isn't part of it, as far as I know. It's just Medicaid.
If they're over 65 and they're not elected, they can use Medicare. Wouldn't that still take, I mean, why is it that all of a sudden, because we're incarcerating them, but we really, they haven't been found guilty, they haven't been found innocent, they're somewhere in the middle of being in limbo. Why can't we charge that to Medicare?
Well, I don't know that we can't. We just have not looked into it at this point. Haven't had the need to and have not looked into it.
Okay. I know that we're trying to create policies now that would govern all three of these.
Right.
And I know the county attorney's office is currently looking into all this. I haven't had a conversation with them since last week, by and large because I've been working through B, and she's been out all week. But I wanted to know how this is going, how do we as a legislature create policy that covers, it becomes like an umbrella and covers everybody that is incarcerated, even though they may not have been convicted. If they're not convicted, why are we paying, in other words, if they're not convicted, why are we paying their medical bills?
I think we're obligated to. If you talk to the Commissioner of Corrections, we're obligated to. unless they're outside the facility.
But I would like to clarify that. I think we might want to actually get some clarification, because technically they haven't been convicted, so why are they becoming part of our bill? I mean, if they were let loose, if they got bail, we'd be covering it.
Yeah.
So
because when they're in our facility, they're under our responsibility. Yeah,
but if we can do it with private insurance, why can't we do it with Medicare?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that Medicare only covers if you're outside the facility. Other than that, then we cover it. And when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, That's going to phase out, I think, in 2017 or 2016.
No, they didn't create, I know there was an issue.
For inmates, anyway, it's going to fade
right,
out.
Because somebody, I read there was somebody said, we didn't do this with this in mind. Yeah. There's quite a few facilities doing this now. So at some point, they're going to rewrite that. But until they do.
And we do try and find out what other county facilities are doing and try and get the best practices and go with that. So I think we're on
the
ball.
And I'm just trying to figure out what we should do as a policy, not necessarily.
Well, I think the whole reason that we asked Alan and your questions were whether we should be charging private insurance companies, and we now know.
That's how it started.
Right, we now know you need a local law.
We get in,
so
and doing
I think
that.
That's the first thing to do. In the meantime, you know, I'll reach out to the COC and ask them your question.
And I was also told that if, in order for Medicaid to kick in, they got to be removed from this facility and go to a hospital or some sort of clinic for 24 hours, and then Medicaid would kick in. Well, then let's take that a step further, and let's look at Medicare. How can that be utilized in the same fashion?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid.
Medicaid, people who can't afford it, Medicare.
65. I can, off the top of my head,
I was trying
we don't have one here now.
For it.
Oh, and 65.
You know, we maybe get one once in a while, but I don't think we have any here now.
No, I'm
state prison probably does, for sure.
I'm sure the state prison does.
We should really think about okay, local law, going after primary insurance first, right. Particularly if they're not convicted, because this would apply in any event. And
sure.
Not in your bailiwick, because I heard what you had said, but I'm looking as how the premiums are figured out. Are they rated based upon experience, or are they just generically rated? And as we take a bigger chunk of the pie out, what we do with the self-insurance for what we do, then that was because we weren't getting the experience rating. So as we start to take more and take it out of what we're doing here and then putting it into the insurance companies where they would pay either way, then we would get a better rate. We could do more with the monies that we have. So there's a reason to want to move ahead with it.
Better. I'm sorry, you say a better rate? Who's going to give us a better rate?
If it's experience rated and you wind up utilizing people's own personal insurance, who gets the laws to do that, the claims will be reduced over time, just because you're using another, you have another payer in there, and that's the private insurance. So as the claims reduce and the premiums stay the same or they go up, the experience rating shows a better number. You're winding up, if you're paying an 80% based upon your premiums, and that drops down to 60%, then it gets more competitive in the premiums.
Unless I misunderstand, we're paying essentially a flat rate for a company to provide medical care. They don't really care how you get paid back out. They're getting paid. It's like having a contractor come in and build you a house. He doesn't care where you get the money from. He's going to charge you a set rate to build that house. These people are charging you a set rate to have personnel on site to do a job that they do. How you get your money back is not going to alter their billing, because they're not seeing that billing.
If it's experience rated, it will. If they come upon a renewal, they'll take a look at their profit, how much money they made, how much you spent, and if you have competition coming in. I think there's three companies, we said. There was only one back when I was on it before, but they said there's companies that can bid or didn't bid.
There was three that did bid.
Well, three that did bid.
Right.
So now if you want the business and you know the experience rating is dropping and there's a bigger profit center, people are going to offer different prices for the same service.
Unless I'm misunderstanding, they're providing a service.
Right.
They don't reap any money other than what the county pays them.
Exactly.
So they don't care if you get 100% reimbursed.
What are we being charged right now?
It's not a question of being reimbursed. It's a question of claims they're never seeing. And if they're charging you a premium, and the premium is absorbent.
Maybe I'm just being thick-headed, no. So I apologize. What claims do you think they're seeing?
They're providing services.
Right.
And if it's costing us $3 million for me, I don't know whatever.
You voted on it at the last meeting. I don't know the number.
7.9 million.
Okay. But you guys voted on it.
You take a look at it. Somebody else takes a look at it. And says, well, what is it going to cost us to do? Well, we can do this for $5 million and still make money. You wind up in a bidding war.
But they don't get any of the money.
We're paying them a premium for service. If the service doesn't.
Not first day.
Okay. I'm just confused.
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about something
else. Right.
But there was a bidding process. And
I understand, but if you're going to charge 7.9, if you were paying this much out in your service and what was costing you money from the insurance company, and that drops, so does the premium.
Not only was CMC the lowest bidder, they provided the most care.
Well, that's so what you want. But you want to get it competitive, and you want to start.
That's the bidding process.
Right, and if they're paying or doing less, they're going to charge less.
Do you keep a record of all the claims? You must, right?
Yes.
Do we? I'm sorry. Do we have any other questions for Ellen? No, I don't want to.
One of the things I just want to say is that when we're looking at the hospitalized patients, first of all, one of the things that CMC does is we do a good assessment when they come in. We figure out their needs. We get a hold of the community doctors. Their medications don't stop. They continue them here in the facility. As far as our hospitalized population goes, very few go to the hospital. We usually take care of them here. Of those that go to the hospital, this year alone, and I did print this out, this year alone, we sent about 25 people to the hospital. One person had private insurance out of the 25, just one. We don't get the population that comes in with good insurance cards. Most of them have Medicaid, and then with Sue Worman's help from Department of Social Service, when they go in, we call her immediately. So even if they have been deactivated because they didn't make their face-to-face visit or they didn't pay a copayment, she can reactivate it once they get hospitalized. So that's the main thing we've been doing this year that we never did before. And then we also have an outside agency coming in. I don't remember their name.
It's a navigator company. I don't know their name, but they sign everybody up. If you want to sign up, you don't have to.
Well, they can only do sentence people.
Right.
Initially, when the Affordable Care Act came out and we heard about it, they kind of led us to believe that DSS was going to be sitting right at the door, and every inmate that came in was going to go out with a Medicaid card and all their bills would be paid for, and we know that's just not the case. They can only do sentenced people. Once they're sentenced here, very few of them are sentenced to county time, and they can come back here and do their county year. But usually once they're sentenced, state has 10 days to take them, or they have to start reimbursing. So thanks but no thanks for, you know. One of the things we have been able to do through the officer that's coordinating it is if somebody is sentenced to county time, he puts their name ahead of the others so they can have an active Medicaid card. But that's not, again, it's a very small part of that.
Is there still a $10,000 maximum payment for off-premises services?
I believe the contract now...
Without looking at it, I don't know.
I believe it went up.
I'm just curious.
We changed it at the...
I think it went up to 40.
It did, and I think you're right, and that was at the recommendation of the county attorney.
Oh, yeah, 10 doesn't go very far.
We found that out with the guy gave him our...
Yeah, but there's a cap.
There was a cap on it.
It was to our benefit. And if we don't reach that cap somewhere along the line at the end of the year, we get money back. So
that works.
It was the county attorney's office that wanted to go through.
The guy who got the new heart was a screwy case because he was convicted, but the judge wouldn't hear the sentencing because he was incompetent to stand for the sentencing.
I can send you guys a copy of the CMC contract if you want.
I'm more curious that it doesn't affect any of this.
But the Commissioner of Correction in New York State, the ones that tell the jail, yes, you can run or stop, when an inmate comes in, we are required to take over the reasonable care. So in other words, if somebody comes in and they were scheduled for elective surgery, we don't have to continue that. The doctor can give us a thing saying it's elective and they can wait till they get out. They're going to wait till they get out. But anything that has to be done, we do. And if a complaint goes to Albany and it's something that we're not, should be providing and we're not, then there's issues for the jail to answer when the commission shows up. So, you know, basically, we look at what the inmate needs, and we have a formulary. We try to keep all of our costs low. when they go to the hospital, we do have a designated RN that works with all of our jails, who's a case manager. She gets on the phone right away, because once the inmate goes to the hospital, they want to talk about everything else they want done. And when we first started here, we realized that people were like in the hospital for a long time. What's going on? Well, what they found out was they were keeping them there because they had a policy that if somebody comes in and they have an alcohol or drug history, they have to be assessed by a rehab. Well, it's an inmate, so I don't think the sheriff is just going to say, yeah, they want to go, let's let them loose. But they were wasting 3 days until we found out about that and cut that down. So they have to report to us every single day because we are their insurance company. So with all the HIPAA laws and all that, insurance companies get information. So every day the nurse calls, the discharge planner there, and we're communicating to get the person out of the hospital as quickly as possible.
So you're telling me the hospital was holding people when they didn't really need to? And we were paying that?
Yeah.
Oh, they're probably running off their policy.
Why didn't we go?
They're probably running off. Well, they're probably running off their policies and procedures.
Why didn't we pull back some of that money?
And
that was when I first started here, 14 years ago. So.
Hospital long time.
But, you know, so we do keep an eye and we get them back as soon as possible. Yeah. But, you know, they're coming in sicker and sicker, both mentally and physically.
It's all about this.
And the judges aren't, they're not feeling sorry for people who have a lot of issues. They're still coming to jail. They're not releasing the females anymore that they used to. As soon as they went into labor, they would release them at the door. No, now the babies are coming back here too.
We call. I personally call, try to get people out of here when we know they're going to be in the hospital for a while. Very seldom do the judges say, yeah, okay, and let them go. Occasionally they do if they're sentenced, that, you know, and they're getting close to the end of their sentence, they'll change it. Also, CMC has a national accreditation, and I don't know if there's any facilities around us, maybe Dutchess, because you guys work at Dutchess, that hold a national accreditation for healthcare services. So we're constantly looking to do everything the right way.
No, we have. I thought we had like a facility, a holding area here for that. Do we?
For what?
For medical.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Come get downstairs and take a look at it.
It's really nice.
It's really nice.
Like a
you got a dentist's office down there too, which
what?
Is part of the. There's a dentist's office down there too, which is part of the service.
Right.
This might be a good time for the sheriff to once again remind everyone that everyone's welcome to come take
anytime.
A tour.
Anytime.
Well, I remember that when it was being built. I'm just thinking, I mean, I haven't been into it.
They got zero pressure rooms.
There you go.
Four negative pressure rooms and 20-bed infirmary. But the issue is, so it keeps them close to us so that we can monitor sick people. But we can't keep the really sick here. We're not a cardiac unit. We don't have cardiac monitoring. We don't have the state of the art.
What is in our best interest to get some?
Oh, please no.
No.
And that's why it's going to cost $500,000.
And that's why it costs you $8 million for 3 years.
Okay.
Is because that medical area downstairs is staffed.
I'm asking for a reason. Because I know that they're doing something similar to that over at the Golden Hill.
Yes.
And they can use their iPhones, which is a direct connection to doctors. They, instead of sending one of their seniors down to the hospital, they put them in this room. They have special nurses that they employ. And instead of going to the hospital, they get sent to that area. And they have these machines that they pay $25,000 for that handles all that. And it sends all this information to a doctor, to that doctor's phone. And that doctor makes the call whether or not that person should have to be placed in a facility or not.
Well, it's telemedicine.
If that would save us money in the long run, if we had something like that.
Well, we have our own doctor. We do our own EKGs, fax at his office, so we're already doing that. But the point is, if that person needs cardiac care, there's one place for that person, and that's the hospital, not here.
I know, I understand that. What I'm telling you is what they do, and I'm just telling you what, because I went to a thing on this, they showed me this, and this is phenomenal. It monitors everything for these seniors, and they get the same care there that they would in the hospital.
But they might have 75 people at Golden Hill with pacemakers and all that. You might get one every 3 months here.
The difference is that Golden Hill is a place where healthcare is supposed to take place, and
they have a call for that.
Yeah. like, you know, the jail is, you know, the medical unit is in the, at the jail is in case or because we have to, that, but the medical unit at Gold Hill is because that's where healthcare is.
I understand that. If it's not necessary, it's not necessary. But how many times a year does that become necessary?
25, if I remember correctly. The amount of people that we've sent to the hospital?
But not everybody.
Not cardiac.
Well, right.
I mean, what you're talking about, telemedicine, I have RNs 24 hours that do that, and okay. We have our own physician. So what we're sending out are the emergent things, the things that actually need hospitalization. Anything else we handle here.
And what you're talking about is usually a pacemaker, some type of thing that goes over the cell phone that gets...
No, this was the way they explained it to me. It's telemedicine, I guess, where they take...
It is. They can send EKGs right and everything
they've
right
to iPads.
They've got a vascular
surgeon on board. They've got a cardiologist on board. They've got all these different physicians. And it's hooked up to...
But that's,
the
right, and that's excellent for continuing care. So instead of sending a person out, the doctor actually comes in by telephone or whatever they're doing. And that's fine. But I think we're just reversing it a little bit. That's for continuing care to avoid all these follow-up visits. It's not for emergency care. Somebody is clutching their chest and has chest pain. That's 911 time.
Yeah.
We're not putting them in any room with a TV. You know what I mean? But when they come back, we have our own doctor to follow them up. Golden Hill would have to send them for repeated visits. Somebody had a heart attack and a stroke, they'd be sending them out all the time.
What they told me was the reason for them doing this was to keep from having to do that.
Right. Like instead of going to a doctor's visit, they do it. It's telemedicine. Instead of going out to a doctor's office, they just do it in this room.
And it's because of the Medicaid redesign and the Affordable Care Act where the hospital is going to get charged for readmission and...
Well, it's going to be charged anyway. I mean, what's the average cost for...
We're sending out emergencies. We're sending out have-to-be-in-the-hospital emergencies. That's all we send out. Somebody tomorrow shows up with an abscess or whatever, we admit them to the infirmary, we can start IVs, we can give them antibiotics, we can do dressing changes. They never see the hospital. So the ones that are going to the hospital are acute cases. And the only place that is appropriate for them at that time is the hospital.
What's the average cost for a hospital stay?
Not sure.
Depends on what the issue is.
Yeah.
Well, it's cardiac is
length
one.
Of stay, amount of care.
Well, so yeah,
what you're in there for? You get
let's,
the cardiac stuff and get real difficult.
Let's come to what we want for possibly our next meeting with some of the stuff from... I want to see CMC, Commissioner Gregg.
If anybody wants to send me an email with exactly what you want, then I'll get on it.
That way we can check with the Commissioner of Correction, because that would probably be the Bible.
The one question that Pete had, why can't we charge Medicaid even while they're in here? So I'll ask him.
Yeah.
But any other questions, if you send them to me, if I can't find the answer, I'll see if Ellen knows.
That's state law. I'd like to know.
I'd like this one.
If, and I'll find out.
Yes, but the easiest thing is to send an email so we got a record of every request.
The three of you are ahead of me on the private insurance and the local law. Once we establish the local law, we're going to charge the private insurance. Is that what we're saying?
As far as I know, for hospitalization only.
That's right. I know Peter's working on the local law. We got to get them together. So
and at this, this point, we are... using the patient's own Medicaid if they have active Medicaid. They do not have active Medicaid. We call Sue Warman and she tries to reactivate it for us. She's been very successful in doing that.
When you say if they have, I thought you just said that they can't get do anything. You can't collect Medicaid unless they go in the hospital.
Correct, that's
so,
what I'm talking about. Our hospitalized people.
All right, so that's for
hospital. We're using Medicaid right now if they're hospitalized. But not on
site. Is that possible? Is that written into law? Is it why? If they're getting a medical service, Medicaid pays a certain whatever they pay. Couldn't we be established as a Medicaid facility as well for those people that are on Medicaid? If we're dealing with RNs and doctors and everything anyway, why the differentiation? And I know you don't have the answer to it, so I'm not looking for an answer. But it's a question that would come up to me and say, fine, well, we only can do Medicaid if they're out of here. My question is,
there's probably a question for the county attorney or DSS.
If they're on Medicaid, we can't get them now only for hospital stay. The question for me is why, and can it be dealt with in either yes or no?
That's one more thing.
We don't have that answer today.
Well, if you send me an email, I will get the answer. So, I'm not taking notes.
Do you want to combine it into yours, or you want me to do that?
That's fine.
He'll put it in with his.
I'm going to make some calls tomorrow anyway and see what I can find out up there.
Okay. Then I'll wait to hear from you.
You remember the coding, what happened with the coding and one of the local hospitals? And I think it was $130,000 never got paid because they couldn't come up with the right coding.
Anything else for Ellen? That way.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I bring up something real quick? Because I have to run. I have to pick up my wife at the airport.
You got to decide what's important here.
Yeah,
what's
important. Making the right choice.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm going to caucus Wednesday. It's my wife's birthday. God, I'm all over big time.
There's caucus Wednesday?
No, budget.
Ways and Means.
If I could just talk about local law number 10 for a moment. I asked Tom to put this in the packet. This is the dog tethering law. I've been giving it a really good look over the last couple of days. I think that there's some stuff that needs to be fixed before it moves forward. At the very least, I guess first and foremost, under Section 3 in tethering requirements, it says it shall be unlawful to tether a dog outside under circumstances including but not limited to the following. That's a frightening thought to me it's a frightening thought to me to make something illegal and then list out the reasons but not limited to blank. That's, you can't write law like that. How's the sheriff going to enforce it if he doesn't know what he's enforcing? So that's number one. Number two, under the section that shows what's illegal, it's poorly written to the point where or mistaken, I guess. I shouldn't say poorly written. That adds too many negative connotations. But I'll just read. I'll read it. It shall be unlawful to tether a dog outdoors during circumstances including the dog has access to clean water, shelter, shade, and dry ground. Now, when you read that, that says it's illegal to tether the dog if he has clean water, shelter, shade, and dry ground.
Section 2?
Section 3. Dog tethering, and that was subsection E.
E.
Which is on the second page. It's just, half of the things under tethering requirements are things that are illegal to do while tethering a dog, and the other half are things that are legal to do while tethering a dog and the right way to do it. I think that we need to take some time and, now, it was not sent to our committee for approval, which troubles me as well, but, the sponsor asked for it not to come here, even though I think that this would be the good committee of original jurisdiction to talk about when you're making something illegal, something you're going to want the sheriff and the state police and dog control officers and everybody else in law enforcement to enforce.
This will come before Laws and Rules?
It will. I plan to ask Laws and Rules to hold off for a month and have a special meeting. What I'd like to do is have a joint meeting of the Law Enforcement Committee and Laws and Rules to discuss it.
Yeah, if it doesn't come to this committee, I'm not voting for it.
I agree.
Thank you.
So, I'll make a motion that we, authorize TJ to reach out to Rich Parody, the chair of Laws and Rules, and suggest the joint meeting.
That's cool.
If everybody's fine with it.
In the meantime, let's all take this, look at it, and make some notes.
And I'd also like to, at the special meeting that we have, invite Brian Shapiro, our good friend, the former member and executive director for New York State for the HSUS. I had a discussion with him about it the other day, and I think that a lot of the ideas contained in here are good. I think a lot of it is incredibly difficult to enforce, could bring neighbor versus neighbor, Hatfield and McCoy's, kind of feuds, but But I think that there's good stuff in here that can help law enforcement, stop, animal abuse. So.
What do you think you'd want to?
I'll reach out to Rich tonight as soon as I get home.
You're going to be enforcing this.
My kind.
Yeah, did you have to?
No, I'd be the wrong one not to make a comment on this.
What's that?
I think everybody's voice should be heard.
I know, but for me, it's
sorry. I'll call Rich tonight.
How much more legislation do we need? But yeah, we could do something.
But I'm just thinking if it would be helpful.
I'll call Rich tonight.
Thank you.
And we'll go from there.
I appreciate it.
Nothing else.
Can we find out why this came up?
The county executive opened the Ulster County Dog Park and suggested it, and then Legislator Wichnick introduced it. That's the extent of my knowledge on the subject. It's partially modeled against other counties, but the original one that Mike had is modeled against other counties, and then Legislator Wichnick took it upon himself to change some stuff around. I haven't been able to look at what's different from the Mike version and the Wichnick version.
So I'll talk to Rich and we'll go from there. See what he says.
Thank you.
He may not even clear his. All right, safe travel.
Thank you.
All right, get ready for me to leave.
We'll go to resolutions.
Get out while you can.
286.
Yeah, see you.
Authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Service for aid to defense program, Department of Public Defender.
What number was it?
286.
I'll move it.
Okay, Peter, second.
Second.
Any other discussion?
My standard issue that somebody should be here from the DA's office, or this one here is the public defender's office, in case anybody had any questions. Somebody from the sheriff's office is at every meeting, even if we don't have something.
Yes, you're right. I agree with you.
And I'm sure it's fine, but somebody should be here just in case there's a question.
Well, if they have a resolution they want us to pass, they should be here. Period.
Let it to be who's ever making up the resolution.
Yep. I'll talk to Vicky.
Yeah.
So that when we have it,
right.
if it impacts.
They can come to Wednesdays. We meet.
If it impacts a specific area.
Yeah, that. Yeah, that.
Give them an email asking them to attend.
Please show up.
Yep. Okay. All in favor? I'm sorry.
I
got them. Opposed? 287, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with Criminal Justice Service, aid to prosecution, that's the district attorney.
I'll move it.
A second.
Opposed? I'm sorry. Discussion?
Again, they're not here, but also I'm glad to see that we're spending more on aid to prosecution than we are aid to defense. That makes me happy as a pro-law enforcement.
It used to make me happy, too, but now that I'm retired, I don't care as much. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So carried. 288, authorizing chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Ulster County Board of Cooperative Education Services to provide a share as a school resource officer. I know they reimburse us for everything, don't they?
I'm sorry, I was talking to the captain. So we're on BOCES?
Yep.
BOCES, we have a part-timer works there, so yes, we're actually.
They reimburse us for everything, yeah. Including.
He doesn't get benefits, so it's all salary for him. We made a great deal. Jim Grable retired from Kingston Police Department, and he had been a resource officer there in the past. Yeah. He's a home run for us.
To work with him.
Nice. So we're getting the most service for the least amount of money.
I'll take a motion.
It's a good time.
I'll move it. Second.
Second.
Discussion. I'll just say one thing. I know Jimmy Grable all his life. He was on the first aid squad with me. I can't actually believe he's a school resource officer from the years I knew him. But that being said, I've heard great things about the guy, and he's done a wonderful job. So I still boggles my mind. Anyway, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 289. Authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Grand Avery School District, also a school resource officer. I know this is.
We've been there now. We just finished our first full year. We did a half a year before that. They reimbursed the salary of a full-time entry-level deputy. So we can put anybody we want at the school district. Right now it's Hadir Omar, and they love him down there. But they pay us now to have a full-time deputy back out on the street. So we're getting another deputy and not costing us anything.
And another body with a gun.
Yep.
And stuff. So.
And Hadir is great.
Good things.
They're very happy with him down there.
And I'm sorry I keep being ahead of myself, so I need a motion.
I'll move it.
Your second?
I'll second.
Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. 290, amending the Elsa County budget appropriation on expected grant funds from Division of Homeland Security, Emergency Services, Emergency Communications, Emergency Management.
I have emergencies right there.
And this is just moving money from one line to the other?
I
guess we shouldn't have let Steve leave.
Yeah, you know, I saw this, I was going to ask him.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would go out on a limb and say yes.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it has to come before us on Wednesday, too, so we can get that clear.
Well, it says here, Division of Homeland Security, in the manner of, for the purpose of enhancing the interoperability of communications and whereas the purchase of VHF high-band paging system is planned and is within the scope of the grant, and whereas to date the Department of Emergency Communications Emergency Management spent zero of the BLIP money, leaving an unexpected balance of BLIP, and whereas the unexpected balance is not included in the 2014 Elsa County budget modifications necessary to appropriate the necessary funds. So.
So they're taking the money out and putting it into appropriations and taking it,
yeah,
and then taking it out of the revenue dollars. So it's just a wash.
Yeah. Yep. So, motion?
I'll move.
Done. Second?
Second.
Very good. Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Opposed? And last but not least, approve the memorandum of agreement between the Elsa County Sheriff and Elsa County Sheriff's Employees Association, amending the budget. This is essentially just approving the contract agreement. So, motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Here. Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Sheriff's report we have attached.
I read it today, very good.
Tell the fellas to start making some more phone calls.
Yeah,
no. Be slacking.
Oh,
any other questions with the sheriff's report? Old business? Anything? New business? I just want to thank you for bringing that lady in.
Alan's great. I've known her for when I took my first EMT class. Back at the Harriet Weber Center then, but that's
right,
where
right,
it was
right, right. Yeah.
She taught the course, and I've known her ever since. She's great.
Yeah,
she worked in the ER in Benedict for a lot of years.
I got a question. Well, on a daily basis, how often is those medical facilities being used downstairs?
You know, I'd have to go look, but I'd say daily there's people in there, 3, 4, 5 people, but sometimes we use it as an extra bed space because when we get one-on-ones, they'll have a room down there that can hold 8 beds. Well, maybe there's not 8 patients in there, and we need 6 beds so we can have one guy watch 6 people instead of 6 people watching each one in an individual cell. So we use the bed space for that, but daily there's people down there. Never is there nobody down there.
And you do have a doctor on staff?
Yes. Yeah, I can send you a copy of the contract. It explains it all, gives you their salaries.
I want to see it.
Gives you everything.
I want to see what the contract says.
Okay.
I want to see what type of nurses are there. I want to see.
It's all spelled out, what nurses have to be on,
what
certain hours.
What's,
yeah,
you know.
24/7 there now.
Is he a GP or is he a...
I don't know. When I started in the jail, you know what the doctor
Jay
was?
Jay has the...
I don't know. How long have you been with
the contract?
It's a 71.
When I started in the jail in 76,
it's 121 pages,
the,
I think.
The head of the medical unit at the facility was the syphilis doctor, Dr. Brock. I don't know if you remember him.
I know the
name. He lives on Meads or Ohio Mountain. You know, that's how far we've come. That's what we had back then.
Peter, do you want Jay to send you the contract?
Yeah,
if
you please.
Have you ever seen a medical facility here?
I saw one was getting built.
It's just like being going into a hospital wing.
Yeah, I know. It was huge. It was a large facility.
I mean,
it had beds.
Beautiful.
It had all of that.
It's got dentist chairs in it.
But I mean, and when it comes
to a rock to a window to get fixed up.
How much we actually
30
spend.
Days?
We have insurance. Pay for that contract. Does that cover all expenses when a person goes in there, or do we have additional expenses, or is there a limit? Is there
there's a limit. It's all in the contract. I'll send you a copy.
I want to see if there's a cap on it.
Yeah.
To where it caps
if
out.
You want to wait, I'll grab the contract now and make a copy, or I can
wait.
Okay.
I'll I mean, I want to see if it caps out or if it's...
Make a motion to adjourn.
Don?
Second.
All in favor?
Okay. You know, in the...
It probably is.
I read it on my cell phone one day.